Joshua chapter 5. You know the context. They're just about prepared to take Jericho. They have crossed the Jordan River, and they're very excited. They're very poised to begin the conquest of the land of Canaan. We begin with chapter 5. You'd think that perhaps the end of chapter 4 would immediately go into chapter 6. It says that they took the 12 stones at the end of chapter 4, and about the children asking the parents about the stones, and that he dried up the Jordan River. And it would seem that it would be a transition right into now Jericho was straightly shut up and so the conquest of Jericho. But notice this chapter, how it is in a sense a parenthesis and a pause. First things first before they take the city of Jericho. It came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites which were on the side of Jordan westward and all the kings of the Canaanites which were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males. Even all the men of war died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Obviously that is what would be called a statement of exaggeration, a figure of speech. Plenty of resources. Very fertile land. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp, till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you, wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. The verb rolled away has the same wording of Gilgal in it. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn, or the old grain of the land. It's not corn on the cob, as we know that. That was discovered by the American Indians, right? This is talking about probably wheat. On the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched grain in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the Lord of hosts, as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to our understanding. The nation of Israel has crossed the Jordan and is certainly in view of the people of Jericho. And the high walls of Jericho are in view of by the children of Israel. So you think about the potential there. They've crossed the Jordan River. It tells us that Joshua was by Jericho when he met this mysterious figure. And so those high walls of Jericho are in view, that great city. And of course, Israel would not be hidden from the view of the people in Jericho for those several days. Canaan is before Israel. The wilderness wanderings are behind them. But the enemy is between them and taking the land of Canaan. Actually, the first portion of the land of Canaan. What should they do? It would seem that it's time to hurry up and start fighting, doesn't it? It seems kind of strange to the human viewpoint that all this pause activity took place on this side of Jordan, on the Canaan, the Jericho side of Jordan. Wouldn't you think, humanly speaking, if they're going to circumcise all those men of war and they're going to be out of commission for 2 or 3 or 4 days and they're going to observe the Passover and they're going to just take time to eat of the old corn and perhaps provoke the people of Jericho, where'd they get the grain of the past year, and where'd they get the grain of the present year? For it says that they ate not only the old corn, but also the parched corn. They got it from places of storehouse nearby Jericho. They got it in the fields where they were camped. So you can understand they're sore, they're having worship services. They're, in a sense, provoking the people of Jericho and the people of Canaan. And then their leader meets a test. He certainly is tested by the Lord and meets this mysterious character. In other words, it would have seemed to the human understanding that the best time to have taken time to worship would have been on the other side of Jordan, where it seemed to be safer. But this is, the Lord's ways are not our ways. In other words, He was trying their faith. Can you not hear people saying, "What are we doing? All it takes is that they send a few thousand people and all of our men," like what happened with Simeon and Levi, and how they slew all those men of Hamor and Shechem, all the people of Shechem, right? Way back there, Genesis chapter 34 or something like that. It would just seem that this was putting them in a very vulnerable position. But you know, this is the way of the Lord, isn't it? Have faith in God. There are times that He tells us to do things that seems to the human understanding illogical and causing people to be vulnerable. But yet the Lord says, "Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Me, and I will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." I do believe the Lord is giving a lesson here. First things first. They're excited. They're anticipating conquest. It's been so long. Most of those people have never known a permanent home. You imagine how exciting it is. Think of when the first time that you own a home of your own. And it's within, I mean, you can almost taste it. And the Lord says, "Stop." Was this the Sabbath day? And then a few days after? We don't know. But stop. pause. Let the world rush by. But it's time to be holy. It's time to take time to be holy. And I want us just to think about this simple subject. In busy times, spend time with God. In the busy times, it's time to spend time with God. Are we busy? Are you busy? We're busy with plans. We're busy with concerns, with trials, with blessings, with difficulties. What should we do when we feel like we're just so busy and so running in circles? What should we do? Rush? Become impatient? That's the time to take time to be with the Lord. Take time to be with God. Like Martin Luther said, I'm too busy not to pray. We're too busy not to worship the Lord. That doesn't mean that we have to take 2 hours in prayer. But simply, I think that we're tested in these times to think that we need to just take care of the situations that call for our busyness, when really the Lord is saying, cease, pause. And this Lord's Day should be so precious to us. The world is just rushing by, isn't it? And the Lord just tells us to stop, to pause. And the world just keeps rushing like a freight train. And we're able to just stop and pause and smell the roses and think and recuperate from all the mundane activities in this world, even in our homes, in our workplaces. We're too busy not to worship the Lord. So I want us to think about reasons why in these busy times we should take time to be with God. And there's application here as we come before the Lord's table. The Passover was certainly a parallel. And what was he saying to the people? They're all excited. They're ready to go. They're longing for permanent homes, especially those that have crossed those several dozen thousand scores of men who've left their children and their families behind. Let's get on with it. And yet the Lord says, let's stop. Take time to be with the Lord. Certainly this is applicable as we come to the Lord's table. We're preparing for a busy week. We're coming from a busy week, but this is so necessary for us to be with the Lord. Firstly, moments with God are the greatest use of time. The message is in these busy times, or in busy times, it's time to worship God. Moments with God are the greatest use of time. Don't ever forget that. Let that be a conviction in your soul. Wasn't he teaching them that? Circumcision was certainly a sacrament. It was a means of worship. It's a picture of regeneration, of the passing away of the old and the inauguration of the new. The Passover, speaking of sanctification, the need to remember the Lord's goodness to them and His grace in their lives. When the manna ceased, time to give thanks for all the miracles that God did for them in the wilderness. But now, it was a renewal of obedience in a sense, because He was saying now, don't depend on the miracles. I want you to start working. You basically had to rely upon the miracles in the wilderness of manna and water. Now the miracle provision is ended in that sense. And you're going to sow and you're going to reap, you're going to work. And in a sense, this was a challenge to them to fulfill their responsibilities. And then, of course, Joshua's meeting with the Lord. He lets everyone pass along further, and he's there. And the Lord meets with him and is saying to the leader of the camp, take time to be holy. Take time to worship me. see. Excitement of endeavor, longing for a permanent home, fears of battle, and yet he says, stop, cease, and wait. Circumcise, keep the Passover, take time to eat of the old grain. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ in pre-incarnate form, we believe, met with Joshua. Why is this happening? What is he teaching them? Priorities. Among priorities. There are priorities among. We have a lot of responsibilities that all need to be fulfilled. But isn't he teaching them priority? He's teaching them to define and determine what their priorities are. Don't lose sight of the Lord. Didn't he say that so often in Deuteronomy, in Numbers, and Exodus? When you go into the land of the Lord, do not forget all the way the Lord has led you. What are the practical ways of remembering, of keeping in mind, keeping fresh, gratitude, worship, Passover, circumcision, meals under the Lord, time with God in prayer. Take time to be holy. The Lord and His worship is foremost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We have New Testament texts, don't we, that we can certainly interject here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God. Seek His rule. Are you under His rule? Are you respecting His authority and His righteousness, His way of righteousness, His method of righteousness? Are we seeking His righteousness? That is, seeking to fulfill righteousness in Christ. And are we seeking to see His righteousness imputed to others? Circumcision speaks of repentance, conversion. The Passover speaks of remembrance, thanksgiving, and praise for what the Lord has done in delivering them from Egypt. And so tonight we come, and I hope that we've come examining our hearts, circumcising our hearts tonight. I hope we've come to remember the Lord, to focus on Him. It's not about us, is it? It should grieve us if this happens here or wherever it happens in God's churches. If we can have a message from God's Word, and then as soon as the preacher says the benediction, that we just all of a sudden just turn back to the conversation of the world. We should be chewing the cud, the grain, determination to obedience. Where else could they have gotten it? Certainly they could have brought some over from the other side, the very fertile land. But there were several million people here. There were 600,000 soldiers, we're told. Where were they going to get all the food? They were getting it from where the Jericho people were storing it. You say, isn't that stealing? They weren't going to eat it. Believe you me, they had enough food for a siege for a long time. They had prepared. They were shut in, but they had plenty of food. And when I say plenty, perhaps a month's supply. And so you can think that maybe the people of Jericho were thinking that they were going to wait this out. But the Lord owns the land. The Lord owns the world. Their iniquity had filled their cup, and it was time for the Lord to punish them. What blessing to think that Christ took our iniquity upon Himself. They were tested. Joshua is a picture of a believer. I mean, what courage. But there was a test here. Here's Joshua letting the people go further, and he waits behind just to... You could just see him pacing. You could just see him thinking, he can't sleep that night, could you? On the eve of the first great battle in Canaan. And all of a sudden, he sees a man drawn, with a sword drawn in his hand. Who did he think was immediately there? Someone from Jericho. Some great figure from Jericho that perhaps there were others near him that was ready to fight with a captain of the Lord's host. And Joshua went toward him. What a test. How often we aren't ready for those tests and we turn our backs and run. But he had confidence in the Lord. Who are you? Are you for us or against us? If you're against us, I'm going to fight you. If you're for us, then come join us. Don't deceive us. I mean, here was Joshua proving the Lord in the Spirit. The Lord was testing. He's going to test us. Are we discerning spirits? The Bible says, try the spirits to see whether they are of God. That can be a very taxing thing to your soul. A lot of people don't like it. Just accept it without doing much investigation. The Lord says you investigate to see if someone's of God. You make sure of the people that you commune with and that you join with. Be careful to make sure, because there are many false prophets that are in the world. Beware of Antichrist. But appreciate friends in the gospel. Joshua found out this was not just a friend of the gospel. This was the Lord Jesus Christ in pre-incarnate form, because he worshipped him. We're not to worship angels. This was not an angel. This was a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus Christ. Just like there was a pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ at the burning bush. The Lord paralleled this. Joshua was Moses' replacement. And the Lord wanted to show Joshua. He was with Joshua, just like he was with Moses. But no doubt Moses had conveyed to Joshua what had taken place in the backside of the desert. And the Lord wanted to first establish who was in control and to show Joshua. It's interesting that he didn't appear in a burning bush this time, because the people of Israel were no longer being persecuted. They were ready to persecute. They were ready to fight. They were free. They were ready to take the land of Canaan. So the Lord appeared without being in a burning bush. But he nevertheless appeared to Joshua. And Joshua fell prostrate on his face. He was teaching him that he needed to worship before he worked, before he warred. And that's always a principle, by the way. Worship before we work. The Lord's Day is the first day of the week. And you think again of the parallel. The Old Testament, Adam was under a covenant of works. You work and you'll earn eternal life. And so the Sabbath was on what day? The seventh day. You work and then you rest. And that was offered to man who was innocent. If you work, you will find eternal rest. Is it a coincidence that the Sabbath is on the first day of the week now? You rest before you work. You find salvation before you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You come to Christ before any of your works are accepted. So we have the lesson to Joshua post-Eden. Joshua, you worship first before you war. We can sometimes forget the Lord. And he learned his lesson quickly, because I mean, he forgot his lesson quickly. What happened right after the battle? Did he seek the Lord? He assumed that nothing wrong had taken place. And the people came back, and we don't just need a few thousand. If any man thinks he stand, let him take heed lest he fall. We don't need too many. What did the Lord do after the dealing with Achan? He said, send them all. I want you to see that you need to all be willing to fight. And I'll win the battle for you, but you've got to fight. You've got to all participate. No one should sit back and kick up his feet. All the people of God are to be involved in seeing the kingdom of God promoted. He was teaching them moments with God are the greatest use of time. Don't forget that. It's easy to do, isn't it? We get so busy, so many things are on our minds. We give the Lord a token gesture, don't we? Am I just the one tonight that admits that at times I just give token gestures? Sometimes even on Mondays it's easy for me. I've given my all on the Lord's day. And it's easy to get in that mentality. Lord, keep my heart fresh. Don't let me loathe the honeycomb because I've been involved in it so much. I have to be careful that I'm not just looking for sermons when I'm reading the Scriptures, that I just spend time with the Lord. Lord, speak to my heart. And you all know when you neglect the Lord, you're neglecting your own soul. Seek the Lord. Don't ever lose sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and a love for the Word of God. How do we keep it? How do we keep sensitive? How do we keep fresh? Got to pray. Pray with an open Bible. Secondly, time is limited for being with God. The days are evil, and they're short, aren't they? Were all the soldiers guaranteed survival in the endeavor? 36 of them died at Ai in the battle. They had 1,000 things around their minds, just like they are in our minds. But time is limited. Therefore, we should give time to the Lord. The tithe is the Lord's. And don't you think we should apply that to time? The tithe is the Lord's. Our time is given to us. He allots us time. Times are in His hands. And should we not give back to Him the times that He's given for us? He's teaching them here that special seasons for recuperation and revival are necessary for the soul. On the verge of war, during seasons of temptation, there needs to be appointments for worship. Certainly the Sabbath day. I would assume that one of these days that they were pausing was the Sabbath day. They need time to regularly assess their souls. We do. To take inventory of our status before God. And we do that when we pause. Every Lord's Day, isn't the Lord searching our souls? He's bringing messages to take inventory of where we are, where we're going. He's realigning our thinking. He's helping us to see, do we have the right vision? Are our hearts in the right place? Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? Husbands and wives are asking, am I being the proper spouse? Children are being challenged. Am I being a loving sibling? The Lord is walking in the midst of the candlestick saying, I know thy works. I know thy labor. I know you can't tolerate this and can't tolerate that. And he's here in the midst to commend. And we should be blessed as he commends your soul through a message. But we also need to be ready for him to censure us. May we hear, I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. But we also need to be willing to hear, but I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Or, I have against thee because you're tolerating this or that. We need time for this. We need to pause to listen to God. And the Sabbath is a great day for that. And I feel sorry for people that only give the Lord an hour for them to listen. What can you hear in an hour? How often the Lord speaks to us while we drive home in the afternoon, while we sit in our chairs at home and ponder what He has said to us. We need to chew the cud. And we all know the Lord can certainly bring us to our knees for our own sake. Get us in a position to listen. I don't want want to have that to be, I don't want to have to have the Lord chasten me so that I can be in a position to listen. I want to listen from my heart. I want to listen willingly. Many in Corinth were sick because they had sinned. God put them in a position to listen and rebuke their impenitence. And certainly, though sickness and tragedy and death are providential times to force unheeding souls to take time for God, we need to schedule worship. I don't want to lose it. Make brief moments count each day. You might be saying, but I can't give hours. I can't give hours at a time. I can't even give an hour at a time, it seems. Make those brief moments count. Be jealous. Don't let the phone be nearby. Don't let yourself sleep. Sleep can wait. Sleep. We schedule times for sleeping. When it says keep the Sabbath holy, it's saying make sure when the Sabbath comes that you don't that you focus on the Lord. Don't waste the gift. So time is limited for being with God. Let us be challenged to buy it back, to redeem it. Moments with God are the greatest use of time. Time is limited for being with Him, and finally, time with God prepares for any time. Believe that? Time with God prepares for anything. Anything. Sin's temptation. How do you prepare for sin's temptation? We don't know how we're going to be tempted today and tomorrow. Worldliness, lust, sloth, whatever. How are we going to be ready? By being with the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. How are you going to be prepared for life's burdens? Some of us may have a phone call or a letter tomorrow that hurts us, that shocks us. Some of us might have a phone call tonight in the middle of the night. How are you going to prepare for that? How are you going to prepare for enemy encounters? How are you going to prepare for proud self-reliance that seems to pop up its head so much? The Lord said to Joshua, take off your shoes. Do you recognize it's me? He fell on his face, but he said, I want you to do more than fall on your face. Take off your shoes. In other words, go as far as you can to reverence me. You're on holy ground. The Lord is. We'll never arrive at having reverential awe toward God. We need more awe, don't we? We need more reverential fear. We need more love for the Lord. This will prepare you, strengthen your body. It seems that the body is worn by, worship can exhaust you. Your mind is taxed. Your body, when you're doing this and that, your soul. But there's a strange strengthening of the body that is spent worshiping the Lord. It educates your conscience. It sharpens your mind to be with God. It gives you a sensitive heart. For when it says that when we behold the glory of the Lord, we're changed into His image from glory, from one stage of glory to the next. Wonderful thing about fellowship with God. Every part of the inner and outer man is blessed, strengthened, helped. It readied them for Jericho. Though it was they were shut out, Jericho people were shut in, the Lord said to Joshua. They were ready. After they had worshiped the Lord, verse 2 of chapter 6, and the Lord said to Joshua. He was ready to speak to him. Joshua and the people had obeyed him, and God's word was right there with him. And even after they took care of the situation with Achan, look at chapter 8. And the Lord said to Joshua, fear not, I tell you, the word of the Lord is right there when you're seeking Him first. It's not far behind to hear a word from God when your heart is inclined toward Him. When you give Him your time, when you give Him your heart, He's there to hear you and He's there to speak to your heart. They were unready for I because they presumed and they were prayerless. And they didn't learn the lesson of Joshua 5. How often we repeat our failures, don't we? We've got to come back to religion 101. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Just, the Lord makes it simple, doesn't it? Mary has chosen the good thing that shall not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha. Take time. Settle down. Wait on the Lord. Unready for Gibeon, you say? Well, I think that was somewhat of an exception to the rule. I think that it still smote them that they didn't seek the Lord, but it was of the Lord for Gibeon to be converted. But there's the exception to prove the rule. I is the rule that proves the rule. We better be seeking the Lord or we'll be overtaken. But Gibeon, there are times that you think that someone is not of the Lord, and they are. And the Lord shows you that our discernment was off. And that's a wonderful thing when you have surprises, when you can say, I was wrong, but how grateful that I was wrong. Because they turned out to be a godly person. They turned out to be of the Lord's people. And my judgment was off there. What should Saul have done when the Lord didn't speak to him? He should have repented. He should have kept asking. Instead, he sought a witch. What do you do when you feel like you're panicking? Fall on your face. Keep waiting on the Lord. And so we find the lesson here. Time with God prepares for any time. It's a win-win situation to spend time with the Lord. If you rush and you neglect the Lord, we find ourselves cutting our own hands off, don't we? We find ourselves in all kinds of mazes that we have to extricate ourselves from. We need to come back to the Lord, don't we? Seek the Lord with all of our heart. Spending time with the Lord today is the greatest use of our time. Our time is short. You'll never regret in eternity the time you spent with your God. In this day, a day to prepare us for whatever we encounter, whatever it may be, in the days to come, we're prepared if we're spending time with the Lord. Because the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is going before us and going behind us. He surrounds us. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivers them. So we come to the Lord's table tonight. Should we rush? Will you calm your heart? Will you settle before the Lord? Chew the cud from what we've learned today. Focus on Christ and His atonement. Pray the Lord grants this dispensing of His grace as we eat and drink. We'll be able as much as we can to worship the Lord through this blessed means of worship. And so we have perhaps war. We're always going to war. There are many enemies out there. Much responsibility before us in many ways. We're here to seek the Lord as we come to the end of this Sabbath day. And let's take time, some more time to be holy. Let's take time to be with the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this portion of Scripture that we all relate to. We thank Thee for this Lord's table, this communion service. Help
help us, we pray, to cast our cares upon the Lord. Take thy yoke upon us, for you're meek and lowly of heart, and you'll give rest to our souls. Lord, we need rest to our souls. We need to rest in thee. Commit to the Lord, and he'll bring it to pass. We need to delight in the Lord, and you'll give us that desire, that delight. So please, Lord, give us a delight in thee tonight. Help us to go, help us to dig deeper in this blessed means of worship. Lord, take us to the deep, to the depths where deep calleth unto deep. In Jesus' name, amen.